You're listening to Screen View.
Hello and welcome to Screen View Episode 3. I am Peter Van. Here is John Denny.
Hello.
Amy Morgan is out. She has to do something with her kids today. Actually, one of her kids is getting a Cub Scout Award, so...
Which one?
I don't know. I don't think she knew either.
Oh, okay.
I'm not too sure. I don't think he's old enough. I think he's like 6.
Oh, like a Tiger Cub Award or something?
Yeah, maybe. She said it's his first award. So.
Good for him.
Yeah. So that's what she's up to today. So she won't be here today. But, I think we can hold the fort down for a week. I think we can take it.
I think we'll manage.
Yeah. I think we can do it. So, I guess one of the first things we could talk about is Lion King 3D has finally lost its top spot after being there for 2 weeks, which is kind of crazy because I kind of think people already had enough of Lion King. Like, they could just watch whatever they wanted.
It came out like 17 years ago.
Yeah, but it's still on VHS and DVD, right? I mean,
For those kids who hadn't had the chance, you did, obviously.
That's true.
But a lot of kids out there haven't had a chance to see it, you know, in theaters on a big screen, so.
That's true. It finally lost its number one spot, and it dropped to number 3, Dolphin Tale, which is kind of came out of nowhere. It's kind of surprising. I actually didn't expect Dolphin Tale to be number 1 this weekend, but it was, with Morgan Freeman about dolphins, which is pretty obvious, and Moneyball, which is the Brad Pitt movie about baseball, right? Willie Bean.
Yeah, I can't believe that that's doing well. Because was it first at all? I'm not sure if it was.
No, it never. It lost last week to Lion King 3D. So.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I thought that it would be a decent story, but I didn't expect it to do well financially. Only because, you know, where's the draw? From
Brad Pitt, man.
I guess.
What do you mean, where's the draw? it's Brad Pitt.
He kind of looks like, I don't know, but he's Brad Pitt looking like a dad, a pre-middle-aged dad, as opposed to, you know, what was that movie where he was a Spartan, or whatever it was?
Troy, yeah. Yeah. Well,
Obviously, there's a draw there for Brad Pitt.
I guess. I mean, people still... There's still people who still find Mick Jagger sexy, and he's just a pile of wrinkles. So, I mean, what?
He's an old baseball glove.
Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. Oh, man. But I guess is that scotch? What is that?
I'm not at liberty to say.
So I guess the base thing that we were talking about, you know, Lion King, hopefully people have seen it. We won't. You know, talk in detail about that. But Sony sometime last week said that they would stop providing support to 3D glasses for their films. So while nowadays if you go to a movie theater and you pay the, you know, 15, 16 bucks for those for the 3D movie, you get those plastic, you know, glasses and you can just recycle them or take them home with you or do whatever. What you didn't know was, what you may have not known was that the studio actually forks money for them and provides support to the movie theaters.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so Sony said, we're done.
I mean, I should say I didn't know that. It didn't occur to me to think about where the glasses were being supplied from.
Right, yeah.
I just kind of assumed that, you know, it's a 3D movie, here are the glasses, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so Sony decided, hey, we're not going to do it anymore. So we suggest that you do the European format, or, you know, I know Hong Kong does it as well, that you go and purchase a pair of glasses along with in addition to the movie ticket, and then you say, okay, I'll keep these, and then the next time you go to a 3D movie, and then you pay for it again.
Would you have to buy them at the theater, or would you have to buy them somewhere else?
Yeah, you would buy them at the theater. So you would get the, you know, you would purchase, actually have a, I have one, actually, randomly. You just buy a pair of 3D glasses, you keep them, and then you take them back with you, and you say, oh, I got my glasses. So then, and then you don't have
to. Yeah. I gotta be honest, ever since these 3D movies started coming back, I haven't seen one of them in 3D. I mean, I've seen my share of movies that are available in 3D, but I just don't see the draw, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, right. I'm probably the only person on the planet who didn't see Avatar. But
right, because I think it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, you're the only person who told me it wasn't worth it, and you're the only advice that I took, so I didn't go to see it.
I was like, don't waste your money.
But, you know, if the argument is, in the end, that 3D, the 3D experience makes the movie better, then why aren't all movies in 3D? Do you know what I mean? Like there are drama movies out there that are still in regular 2D or, you know, whatever. Why not have those in 3D if it makes the experience better? I mean, you know, I don't know how else to describe it. It's just...
Yeah.
It doesn't add anything to me.
Right.
I mean, I've been to Disney World a few times, and those movies are 3D where there's things like actually, like, it looks like it's coming out at you, or, you know, I don't know if it's even technically, you know, that aromascope thing, but, like, they have this ride called Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, or basically the audience is in the movie, and it's like, you know, there's rats, you know, crawling under your seats, and you feel something, you know, brush by your under your feet.
The experience.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting, and it freaks you out the first time, but obviously it's not cost-effective for movies to do that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I guess the biggest question is, obviously, Pete, you've seen the movies that are in 3D. Is it 3D where things are actually coming out towards you, out from the screen?
No, actually, it used to be like that, and I'm sure I've actually never seen it. I don't know if it's true, but like Piranha 3D or these kinds of like things that don't really take themselves seriously, or maybe in like Final Destination in 3D, the stuff kind of just like flies out at you in a gimmicky way. And they purposely go, oh no, it's flying towards you. But most of the stuff that, even like Avatar and stuff like that, it just gives it a another layer. So it's like more depth perception.
So right. Like, you know, shortly after these movies started coming back, they started having the 3D televisions, which became, I guess, popular. I don't know if they're selling or not still. But I went to my local electronics store, and they had a setup available where you could put on the glasses and take a look into the 3D TV. And I looked into it, and it wasn't so much 3D coming out of me, which is what I expected, which is what the commercials sort of lead you to believe.
Right, you're like touching the fishes and stuff like that.
Right. And I'm looking at it, and it's a really cool, like, panoramic view of somewhere in Italy, Rome, somewhere like that.
Right.
And it's like, this house is in front of this house, and this row of houses is in front of this row of houses. And you can kind of see the depth into the screen, but there's nothing coming out at you, which kind of really bothered me, because, I don't know, that's what I see every day. You know, why do I need to look at a TV and see that?
Right. Yeah, I think what you were actually watching, there are only certain shows that are, there are only certain channels that are 3D enabled. So I think there's
It was photographs, and they were showing whatever photographs you can take.
Yeah,
3D.
Yeah, they have like the left lens and the right lens, and then you get a program and it combines them together. But there are only certain channels. I think ESPN came out with a 3D channel or something like that. But the issue with that is, I hate wearing glasses in general. So why the hell would I watch TV with glasses on? Which you can't do anything else with because of the way the lenses work. You can barely see anything because they feel like you're just wearing goggles the whole time.
Right.
So I'm not really into that whole, like... And then there are people who talk about 3D gaming and stuff like that. I'm not into that because it's just...
Do they have 3D video games?
Yeah, PS3 is going to do 3D video gaming soon. Yeah. It's going to be really bizarre. Actually, have it. If you go to a Sony Experience store, they already have them showcased.
A movie ticket, I mean, they're increasing the rates of movie tickets anyway. And, you know, I don't know where it is down in Virginia, Pete, but up here it's like $11, which is not outrageously expensive, but it's more than it used to be.
Right. It's more than
it's you know what I mean? So to pay an extra, what is it, like $3 on top of that? No way.
Sometimes it's like, yeah, sometimes it's like $15, $16, yeah.
I mean, the only thing that bothers me is when I'm watching a movie that comes out in 3D, like I went to go see Pirates of the Caribbean 4 on Stranger Tides,
mm-hmm.
And it was available in regular 2D and 3D, and we went to go see the 2D, me and my wife, and, you know, there's scenes where, you know, Jack Sparrow is holding the sword directly at the camera, where it's like, really? Like, that's what the 3D is for, so it can looks like his sword is coming out of the screen. Like, I'm so glad that I didn't pay the extra $3 to go see it.
Yeah, and a lot of the films, actually, I actually won't bother, unless it's filmed in 3D, to actually see it in 3D. I think there was a whole bunch of, like, I saw Captain America in 3D. I was getting a screening of it, so I didn't have to pay for it, but they gave us the 3D, and it was kind of like, okay. So I actually, there's sometimes when it's like, you know, like down moments that I get interested to see how they do post-production 3D and what they've done in 3D, and it's like, when the Red Skull was putting something into that container inside, in the lab, they 3D'd his arm. And, like, nothing else was 3D. And it was like, what's the point of it? Like, great, I get to see, you know, his arm closer to my face. That's fantastic. That's not practical. That's not interesting.
I don't know. I mean, the way I see it is, talking about video games for a second, with, like, you think about Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past on Nintendo, Super Nintendo. Okay, that was not like a 3D-esque game. It was very flat. You know, you couldn't see two sides of Link at one time. You could only see the one side. And then flash forward a couple years, and there's Legend of Zelda, the Ocarina of Time, where that was like mind-blowing graphics at the time, because it was like, you know, you could see sort of around the characters a little bit. And technically, that's not 3D, but that's good enough for me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a 3D plane. It's not, like, 3D in your face, but inside the game, instead of it being one side or the other, it's, you know, it adds the Y plane to it.
But to add that to the movie aspect, when you're watching, like, you know, Casino Royale and James Bond is chasing a bad guy, it's not like it's a 2D side-scroller type thing where he's just running after the guy, yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I think it's funny because actually there's this this comedian. Her name is Paula Poundstone, and they were doing this joke where it was like, she's like, why do I need to watch 3D movies? I get to see 3D in real life.
I've been saying that.
At the same time, so obviously, like, for us, like, 3D is kind of, at this point, it's still very gimmicky, and I think there's really no way for it to get any better, right? I mean, unless they somehow are able to make it pop even more, or without it being like an in-your-face kind of like Jack Sparrow or
kind of thing. I mean, the next level is to have the 3D without the glasses, which is started to do, I think, on at least some of the TV.
Yeah, but unless they have like a rear projection movie theater, though, that won't happen. Because it's something to do with the lenses, and that's just a projector, right? So,
right. So, I mean, I don't know. I remember. Do you remember when we were kids? There was sort of like a couple movies that came out that were 3D.
Yeah, with those like red and blue lenses.
Yeah.
Lenses, yeah.
And even when we were kids, it seemed gimmicky.
Yeah, I remember.
So, as in, I still remember that time. So it's still gimmicky. Like, nothing has changed. You still have to go to the theater. You still have to put on glasses. I don't wear glasses, but you do. Yeah. And I'm glad that I don't have to wear glasses. So why would I want to pay $3 to feel like I have a physical deficiency?
Right.
Yeah, but, so, I mean, even on that aspect, my parents have, you know, they remember when the black and white movies were in, you know, in 3D or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a gimmick for them, but every time they go to the movies, if it's available in 3D, they go and see it in 3D. You know what I mean? I don't, like, maybe it's just their point where they're just like, whatever, it's showing it this time. This is the time I want to see it. And that's my other big issue is that now that they have the 3D format, they take away screen times from the non-3D.
Yeah.
At least up here.
Yep.
It seems like if you want to see it non-3D, you have to go at 7 o'clock in the evening or like 10:30 in the evening. Like, what the hell good is that?
Right.
It makes me angry that, why am I being inconvenienced because I don't want to do what everyone else is doing?
Right. Yeah, I will actually purposely, if it's not filmed in 3D, I will go around it and try to get a 2D showing. So, I guess we've gotten to the point where a lot of people, you know, people say, yay, okay, I'll do it. And maybe there are a lot of people who are just like your parents who just say, hey, okay, this time, okay, we'll go at this time because we want to go at this time. We'll pay that extra money. And then there are some people who are just like, this sucks. I don't want to, it doesn't add anything to it.
Like, how many people come out of the theaters, and if there's a large majority, then I'm wrong, but how many people come out of the theater saying, you know, high-fiving each other and saying, I'm so glad I saw that movie in 3D, as opposed to, that was a really good movie, or that movie sucked. You know what I mean? Like, if people aren't, you know, jumping out of their seats, you know, being scared by whatever's coming out of the screen at them, then what's the point?
Right.
It's not really adding anything, it's just, it's more of a hassle and more money. And, you know, the studio executives are just, you know, sleeping on their pounds of cash at night because they're like, yeah, we just, you know, put 3D on the end of this title and people go and see it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's making them buckets of cash. I mean, even though attendance has been down in recent years, the 3D, you know, has been pushing a lot of money to them. So.
And, you know, I get that attendance is down and they have to find a way to make their bucks, but they would just make movie times available for, you know, make it equal. You know, have
better movies.
At 7 o'clock and 8:30 and 9 o'clock for both 2D and 3D.
Right.
I don't see what the problem is.
Yeah. Well, the theater also wants to make it more money.
It would make the, make the theater a little bit more empty, which I enjoy. You know, everyone goes to see the 3D one and I want to see the 2D one.
Yeah. All right, well, if anybody who is listening would like to provide their feedback for whether or not they want 3D and not 3D and why, please provide feedback on the Radio Free Cybertron Facebook page as well as our Twitter handle, which is at ScreenViewShow. We'll put that up in the show notes as well. So, all right, well, let's move on to some television. I guess one of the biggest things that actually occurred this past Sunday was the creator of Arrested Development once again lit the fire, saying that it would be back. So, John, I don't know if you were a fan of Arrested Development when it was around or after it died, but a lot of people, I mean, this show ended years ago. I mean, it ended back in 2006, so that was 5 years ago. And
I mean, I watched it when I remembered to watch it.
Right.
The thing about it was it aired on Sunday night, which, you know, it might be a good time for shows to be on. Obviously, The Simpsons is still going strong, and a lot of the Fox shows are doing well. Sunday night is football for me, you know what I mean? I just...
Right.
As much as I want to remember to watch a show, even back then it was just... Well, especially back then, Sunday nights for me, I was... You know, if I was home at my parents' house... I was in college, so if I was home at my parents' house for the weekend, this 7 to 8 hour, or 8 to 9 hour, whatever that whenever Arrested Development was on, I was on my way back to school.
Right.
So I missed it. I mean, I saw episodes from watching DVDs at people's houses. It's a funny show. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed watching it. It's a really good show, and the cast is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's too far gone.
I think.
As opposed to, I mean, you said it's 5 years ago, but beyond that, I mean, Jason Bateman is doing movies now. And Will Arnett is on a TV show now.
Just got picked up for a full
season. And Michael Cera's been doing movies a lot. And, you know, I don't know what portion of what Del Rossi is doing, but a lot of those people are out doing their own thing now. I mean, they used that show as a launching board for their career, or for some of them, like Jason Bateman was already an actor, but...
He's a child actor, wasn't he?
He was a
teens kind of thing.
I think the earliest thing I ever saw him on in was Teen Wolf 2. Yeah.
That's one way to start your career, yeah. Well, I mean, during this, like, this meetup that actually occurred this past weekend, I believe Jason Bateman and Will Arnett showed up. I don't think Michael Cera showed up because he's always busy. He's actually doing a lot of movies and stuff nowadays. So, but he did, the creator Mitchell Hurwitz did come back and say, "Oh, we're working on it. We're working on it." And this week, actually, a lot of buzz started going around that they're going to come out with a ten episode show prior to the movie, which would be like. These episodes that would just spotlight each character. At least that's what Will Arnett said last night on Jimmy Kimmel. So he said, it would spotlight each character, and then we would launch into the movie, kind of like catching you up to people who haven't seen the past three seasons, like 6 years ago.
Listen, I'm not going to hold my breath, because they've been promising a Arrested Development movie since 2007.
Right.
Ever since the show was not coming back.
Right.
Every time it'll go away, the rumors, and then they'll come back, and you know, we're working on it, it's coming out, you know, just be ready for it, and then it'll go away again, and then somebody would say Arrested Development, and then the guy would say, yeah, we're still working on it.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
You know?
But at least there's a lot of, there's a bit more in development. It's just that Hulu, Netflix, Fox is saying that they may or may not be interested in bringing it back, but it doesn't seem like they are. So right now there's like a three-way bidding war between Hulu, Netflix, and Showtime in trying to get the show. But Netflix just got House of Cards, which is a Kevin Spacey show, so they're trying to build that area and try to stream that, try to drive more traffic to their streaming service and more content. And it's kind of crazy.
Really. That's weird.
And Hulu is like bidding on it, even though, like, I think Hulu put itself on sale like a couple months ago. I'm not really sure. Like, there's some crazy stuff going on.
How is Futurama doing on Comedy Central?
I actually don't know,
because that's a show that, you know, was really good and people loved it while it was on, and then it went away. And
like 5 years later, they brought it back.
Yeah, they said, you know, it's going to come back, it's going to come back. The same type of thing where, you know, they kept saying that they're going to be doing a movie, it's going to come back, you know, keep waiting for it. And then it was, you know, went away, and the rumors came back around. And then finally, it did come back around earlier this year, I believe, on Comedy Central.
Like that. Yeah.
And I haven't really heard, I saw a couple episodes in the beginning of September, just when I happened to be flicking around and stopped on Comedy Central, but... And it was just as good as the original was.
Which,
I
didn't really find it like that great to begin with. So.
The problem is that, I mean, everyone was like, "Well, it's not The Simpsons," you know what I mean?
Right. Well, which apparently will end by next season anyway. With there's too much money going on, too much money getting thrown around for like a 20-year-old television cartoon. So,
It's run its course,
right? I mean, you're a big Simpsons fan, and you felt for, you know, 5-6 years now that it's pretty much run its course, right? Now
I actually watched the season premiere this year, and it was pretty good.
Really? So it's still got its bright spots.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's been on for 22 years, so it's going to have its ups and downs. Obviously, it's not going to be at, you know, the early season levels for the whole run. But it's managed to maneuver around those lows and come back on a strong note. And I think that from what I saw this year so far, it looks pretty good. I mean, I don't see any reason for it to go away. But it's not like – it's a sitcom.
Right.
So it's not like there's any kind of overbearing arc where, you know, it gets very convoluted and things have to get tied up before they end it.
Right, right.
Or, you know, or else it won't make any sense, but it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to make sense. You know, it's just one of those shows that, like, Seinfeld is one of those shows where if they wanted to, they could have went on forever. Because...
But thankfully they didn't. Like,
I enjoyed Seinfeld, but the idea is that, you know, it didn't get caught up in its own story where, you know, every show, me and you have talked about this hundreds of times, where, you know, shows where, like, Friends or sitcom, Friends or Frasier or sitcoms, where towards the end of their run, they get very convoluted with these overarching stories where it's like, oh, now these two people are dating, and they're going to get married? Is that the season finale? Is that the series finale? And then it's like, you know, it gets very tied up in that stuff where The Simpsons, it was, you know, every episode is, except for, you know, cliffhangers at the end of the season, like, remember Who Shot Mr. Burns, that episode, that was two episodes.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, it starts at 8 and ends at 8:30. And then the slate gets wiped clean.
Right.
And it's fresh next week.
Right.
And that was the great part of that show and those kinds of shows where the slate gets wiped clean is that it doesn't matter what happened last week because the characters aren't living in that world.
Hmm.
But, you know, how did that get us in this
tangent? We got from Futurama and not being funny.
Oh, right. But anyway, yeah, like I was saying, Futurama, it came back, but with a little bit of fanfare, but I don't know if Arrested Development is sort of in that same line, especially if it comes back on somewhere like Hulu or Netflix. Like, who's going to get that?
Yeah,
like,
I
have friends that have been clamoring for Arrested Development to come back who don't watch TV on the internet and don't watch things streamed from Netflix, if they even have Netflix accounts, and they're going to be sorely disappointed. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just doesn't seem like it's coming back to the right place. If that's
right.
What they
want
to do.
Right. I think what they were really trying to do is just, like, you know, put out 10 episodes, get you caught up on the 6 years that they haven't come back and how they've been coping, because they once again, you know, they get arrested for more, like, at the end, their yacht gets raided for stuff like that. That just ends pretty much just like that. So they're just trying to catch you up on the years that have transpired since then. And I don't know, maybe they'll collect that on a DVD before the film, or they'll package it with the DVD on the film or something like that. But
is the film going to be the end of it?
I think so. When the show ended, after the third season, Mitchell Hurwitz always said, he's like, oh, I would love to do a film. And then everyone said, yeah, we'll definitely do a film. And then a couple years after that, they were like, you know, Michael Cera's like, I probably wouldn't do another film. It's like, why would you? You're making like a boatload of cash from doing these crazy movies. But they kept saying, you know, oh, the script is, the movie's definitely happening. It'll happen. You know, right now they're just writing the script and then it'll happen. And then a couple years later it happens again. And then this might just be another entry in the book of whether or not it's actually going to happen. It may or may not. It might be one of those, you know, development hell movies that it just never will happen. Or maybe 20 years later that nobody really cares anymore or something like that.
I sort of hope so.
I think,
well,
yeah.
Because, like, you know, it's been overhyped for the last 5 years.
Right.
And
yeah.
If it comes back and it's not at that same level where it was before, even if the same guys are writing, even if everyone from the show comes back, it's going to be like, you know, a sore spot in everyone's memory where it's like, oh, remember when they tried to come back in 2011?
Yeah.
Oh, how terrible was that?
Or it'll be the same thing like Firefly, where Firefly came out for 17 glorious episodes and everyone's like, oh, okay, we're gonna cancel it because, you know, Fox loves to cancel television shows. But then they're like, okay, well, you know, Josh Whedon's like, we're gonna make a movie. We're gonna do it. And they did it. And the film, like, nobody watched it.
I saw it. I didn't see the TV show though.
Yeah, the film, like, crashed in the box office. It tanked. You know, it didn't make a lot of money. It's kind of like one of those things where everybody, Well, everybody's been saying, you know, the web is the vocal minority, where people say, like snakes on a plane, right? People are clamoring for it, and then nobody watched it. So it's kind of like, you know, people, there's still an active community where people say, oh, you know, I want Arrested Development, but that could be like one forum with 500 people on it.
But I mean, I guess the whole Firefly and, what was the name of that movie?
Serenity.
Serenity, yeah. That's like, I think that was like a nod to the fans who watched the show and enjoyed it and wanted to see the end of it, because, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Those fans are like, are rabid. But Joss Whedon fans.
Yeah, but that means like, the amount of money that it made, it like 15 people watched it or something like that, you know? And that's what I'm worried about, like you're saying, that what if that happens to Arrested Development? There are people, you know, clamoring for it, but that could be like 500 people in a forum, and that's about it. And that transforms to what, like $10,000 or something like that? Like, they're not going to make anything off of it.
If that.
Right. So, it's just, yeah, you may as well just let sleeping dogs lie and just let them do what it should do, and that's just...
Yeah, I think the people have these delusions of grandeur where it's going to be like the greatest thing ever, where, you know, they're probably better off thinking, you know, oh, you know, what could have been?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to sound mean or anything like that, and I might get a lot of hate for this, but if John Lennon was still alive, do you think that his music would still be as good as it was with the Beatles? Probably not.
He probably has stopped doing drugs, and he probably wouldn't sound good anymore.
But everyone at this point who was alive during the Beatles has that, like, in the back of their mind, it's a lot better, you know, than what it would actually be. You know, they have this delusion where it's like, oh, man, if he was still alive, it would be so great.
Right.
But, you know, things happen out that way, and it's just, you know, I don't think that the reality is better than the truth.
Right. Well, speaking of a canceled television show, it's the third or fourth week into the new season. It's the third week, actually, because it's episode 3 for us. So I guess we can talk about some shows that got picked up. Whitney Cummings got both of her shows picked up. She's a head writer for Two Broke Girls, and she also writes and stars in Whitney. One's on CBS, one's on Fox.
Right? No, NBC.
NBC. They both got picked up for the whole season.
Yeah. Two Broke Girls is good. Whitney... Okay.
Yeah. Well, it got picked up, so, you know, it's too late now. No.
I think it's got a good lead. I mean, it's on Thursday nights.
Right.
It's got really good lead-ins. You know, it's on the same night as Community and The Office and Parks and Recreation.
If it weren't NBC, it probably wouldn't have gotten picked up. Like, if it were on CBS, it probably would have gotten...
Right.
Like, just right, because there's another one.
I don't think it would be canceled yet, but I don't think that it would be picked up.
Right, because there's also another show called How to Be a Gentleman, which is a CBS show. It got fantastic. It got like for you know, it got really good ratings. Where it became, it was the top. It was like the number two show of the night on its time slot in its night. But CBS is probably going to cancel it because they just get. Their ratings are just so high up there that they're like, what do you mean number two? I need to be number one, because every single sitcom that they have to debut has to say number one new rated comedy or something like that.
The thing about Whitney is that she is a funny writer, as evidenced in Two Broke Girls, and a lot of, like, if you watch the Comedy Central roasts, a lot of the actors and actresses who do the roast part, she writes all that material.
Right, that's what I've heard. Yeah.
She's not such a great comedic actress.
Right, her timing is, like, or her, you know, just the way, I've actually never seen a show, but.
If it was somebody else in the role, I think it would be better.
Okay.
It's... I don't know. There's scenes in the first episode that I watched, and it was just like, it was more uncomfortable than funny, I guess.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh man, this show's going to get canceled. I actually enjoyed the few episodes of the show that was in the same slot last year. I enjoyed it so much I can't remember what the name is. There's a show where the guy was working for tech support, and he was living in India.
Oh, outsourced?
Yeah, outsourced. That actually was a funny show.
Oh, really?
That had that same lead and stuff, and at the end of the year, they canceled it.
So they renewed it for a whole season. So they ordered a whole season, and they just decided to just cancel it after that.
Yeah, and I kind of felt that was what was going to happen to Whitney.
It might. I mean, season's still young.
What I don't understand, does it get a whole season, or is it get it picked up for more seasons?
No, it got picked up for the full, you know, 22 episodes. But most of the time, they, you know, if it does bad enough, there have been shows that they'll cut back on. They'll say, oh, we don't want these episodes anymore. Or they'll, you know, depending on how it goes.
Right.
But NBC, you know, they just, in another thing is that they have enough. I don't know, because they're in a desperate situation, right? Because they for some reason, they're just not getting the shows that people are watching. I don't know why or what, but before we get to that, I think it's worth saying that Up All Night, which is actually a really good, it's a pretty funny show, what got picked up for a full season, as well as New Girl.
Up All Night is NBC, isn't it?
Yep, and Up All Night is NBC as well, and it's on Wednesday night. So it's actually, you know, it's doing okay, you know, considering it's a Wednesday night. It's kind of crowded as well. But New Girl got picked up as well, which
I thought it would.
I don't actually think it's that funny. Have you seen the second or third episode?
No, I have it on my DVR.
Because the first episode was funny, but then Zooey Deschanel's act kind of gets like it kind of gets old for a while for me, because it's kind of like she's always putting. There's something about it where there are shows that when I watch them, I don't like it where it's like insanely embarrassing, where they don't know it's happening. Like,
right.
Like, oh man, this is not good. Like, I feel so horribly embarrassed for them that I don't even want to watch it anymore. It's kind of like that feeling.
I think that show, more than any other show, is going to get a little bit more leeway because of, like, her sister's been on that network for a few years.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But the New Girl is getting phenomenal ratings anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's beating Glee, right?
Yeah, it's getting some crazy ratings anyway. Like, people are just like, what's happening right now? So unless it takes a swan dive at the end of the season, they will most likely keep it for a second season. It's doing... You know, I'm probably one of the only few people who say, like, oh, I don't really know if I like this show that much. But obviously enough people like it that it's just doing really, really well. Let's see here. Actually, Up All Night. Yeah, Up All Night is actually at 8. So people just tune in to watch it because it's funny. I mean, it actually really is a funny show. But you called it actually in the first episode, John, Playboy Club. Are you raising your hands because you're in celebration?
Yeah, no, because I called it. I won.
Yeah, I won. Many people out of work. Eddie Sibrian wants to get out of work.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be hurt. Yeah.
Playboy Club has been canceled after only its third episode. So,
are they going to air any more episodes?
Don't they usually order like 3 episodes or 6 episodes?
I think they ordered 4, I think.
Oh, man. That means they're going to be on like a Saturday at like, you know, 1 a.m. or something like that. They're probably going to find like a... like an August night right before Labor Day or something to show it or something like that.
This show felt, it could have been good, but it fell sort of victim to that, what you were saying before with the cry of the minority, where there are, you know, parent groups out there that are saying, this show shouldn't be on TV, it's got the word Playboy in the name, and there are girls dressed like bunnies.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, if you don't want your kids to watch it, turn off the TV.
Yeah, the funny thing
spend
is...
spend some time with your kids.
The funny thing is Hugh Hefner actually commented on the show being canceled. He's like, this thing should have been on cable. And I agree. They could go away with a little bit more, like, in general. I mean, they could have gotten rid of... You know, they could have gotten some S-bombs in there, or some smoking, or...
S-bombs.
Like, some Playboy Club stuff. You know, like, stuff that actually happened in the Playboy Club, you know?
I don't understand, like, there are other shows that are on network TV where characters smoke, aren't there?
I don't know. I would assume so, yes. I would, I can't think of anything offhand, but
I don't get why they were so, like, oh, we're going to do this thing, it's kind of controversial, but we don't want to be too controversial by showing people smoking.
Actually, Playboy Club smokes, right? It's Pan Am that doesn't smoke. They, yeah, right?
Yeah, you're right. Stop it. You're getting me thrown off.
Pan Am actually alludes to smoking, they just don't show it, which is quite interesting.
But they pander to the outcry of the minorities, not the minorities, the minority voice that right. said, you know, this show is really offensive, take it off the air, and they complied.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good. Yeah, I mean, they should have taken it off because it wasn't good.
Yeah, it didn't hurt that their ratings were awful. So they're like, okay, fine, twist my arm, you know. So they're replacing it with Rock Center with Brian Williams, which is like another news magazine show, you know.
Yes.
I know, NBC has enough news magazine shows, but they're going to do it anyway. They're touting it. They're like, oh, it's like the first news magazine show we've launched in 20 years.
Just bring back Law & Order?
No,
that show was good for 15 years, and all of a sudden it wasn't good anymore.
It got too expensive. That's why they canned it.
How could it be expensive? It's a cop drama.
I don't know, man. That Anthony Anderson. Was Anthony Anderson the last? He was like the last one, right? A cop or whatever.
Well, that's the problem. You don't need to get big-name stars to be on your show. Who the hell knew who Sam Waterston was? I mean, he was in movies, but who knew who he was? I mean, I didn't know who he was.
Right, like... Nobody really knew who Jerry Orbach was before he joined, right?
Right.
Like, he was a big Broadway star, but...
Nobody knew who he was so much that he played two different characters in that show.
That's right. He was a huge Broadway star, but, you know, at that time, but he, you know, TV people don't know anything about Broadway, so, mostly, at least. But yeah, so that show has been canned. Another show, also Free Agents, which is actually... So people watched Up All Night and then turned it off for Free Agents because Free Agents lead-in is Up All Night. So that's actually been canceled.
I didn't have high hopes for that.
Yeah, I didn't even think of it.
Who was on that show? Hank Azaria?
Yeah, Hank Azaria, yeah. And the idea...
Simpsons.
So yeah, those are the shows that have been canceled so far. I mean, it's only 3 weeks in, and
nothing too surprising.
No, nothing surprising. So all the low-rated shows got canceled. I think mostly they order like 6 episodes worth of shows. So you'll at least, unless it does are horrendous like Playboy Club they, or Free Agents, they usually won't cancel it.
Right.
Until you know at least another four or five episodes in. I'm sorry, or. Two more episodes in, so... Fourth or fifth is what I'm trying to say. Anyway...
What are you trying to say?
I don't know. Anyway, moving on. So, John, did you catch up on Prohibition? I know you're a little caught behind from the Phillies playoffs, so...
I've been attempting to watch it with my wife, and... 45 minutes in each episode. Every time I put it on, 45 minutes later, she's out.
Yeah. I mean, that guy is
It's not that she doesn't like it. It's very interesting to her, but she's just like, it's so soothing.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the narrator who was, what is his name? Like Peter Wolf, I think, was actually.
The one of many narrators, if you noticed. I was sitting there watching it, and I'm like, is that Tom Hanks?
Yep.
And then I'm sitting there, and while I'm thinking, was that Tom Hanks? I'm like, wait a second. Is that, what's his name from The Rock from the Sun?
It's John Lithgow, yeah.
John Lithgow. I was like, is that John Lithgow? Yeah. Is that Paul Giamatti?
through all 5 hours, I'm pretty sure John Lithgow played like 6 different people.
So it's good, though. I'm really enjoying it. Yeah. We're halfway through the second episode.
Okay. So the Nation of Star
I don't know. We're finished the second episode. Yeah, we're finished the second episode.
So you're when Al Capone takes over Chicago, pretty much.
They ended the episode talking about how he's the first time his name showed up in the paper, they spelled his name wrong.
Yeah, Capone.
Yeah, Capone.
Yeah, I mean the second episode, like I was kind of hoping that a lot of the reviews were wrong, but. The second one did, which is supposedly, arguably, should be the most interesting part. Although number 3 kind of recovered, 2 I felt was not as interesting. I don't know if you were if you
were I haven't been paying attention to the ratings.
Oh, okay. Well, no, not ratings-wise. I'm talking about, like, just...
Reviews, yeah.
Yeah, the reviews was that, you know, number one was the best, which I think they're right. But, you know, it kind of went downhill from there, kind of thing. But I did feel like the second one kind of dragged itself on a little bit. It was the longer one. It was the longest one of all.
I think with something like this, it seems like a lot of people are sitting around saying, get to the mob, what I mean?
You're right. And episode three.
And after, it seems like after the first episode, it's like, okay, Prohibition. Now we're going to get into the mob. And the second episode kind of touches on it, but they don't a whole lot.
It wasn't until the
Chicago
last,
mob.
Yeah, it wasn't until the last, like, you know, at tail end of the second hour that they kind of started talking about the mob.
If people would just relax and watch it and take it for what it is, a story and not a mob documentary,
right. It's very evenly,
I think they would understand that, you know, it's important information. If you're trying to learn something, it's good information, mm-hmm. and it's all there, and it's, you know, stuff that can't be ignored because it's all part of the story.
Yeah. And actually,
obviously, when I watched the Civil War documentary that he did years and years ago, I wanted to watch the part about Gettysburg because that's close to home.
Right.
And all the other stuff I couldn't be bothered with. But then when you watch again, it's like, oh, this is all really good.
Yeah. I think overall, Prohibition was, it was good. I enjoyed it. And I think, you know, now that you're getting into the third one about, you know, Al Capone getting into the mob and stuff like that, that's a big driver. And then, you know, Herbert Hoover and everything like that. And, so let's see, are you interested in, do you want to talk a little bit about Fringe?
We can talk about it a little bit.
it's either that or we can talk about, you know, if you've seen Prime Suspect.
I have not seen Prime Suspect. I haven't recorded it at all. I actually forgot that it was a TV show.
Oh, my God. Actually, it's going to replace Playboy Club until the end of the month when Rock Center with Brian Williams comes back.
That's even worse because Playboy Club came on Monday nights. Yeah. And that was, you know, I'm busy on Monday nights, obviously. You know, I'm still involved with, the Boy Scouts. And, you know, my wife watches Dancing with the Stars, so we can't miss that.
Well, Dancing with the Stars comes on, you know, a little earlier, so.
It's on for 2 hours straight. At least at the beginning of the season it was.
Oh, I kind of avoid Dancing with the Stars like a plague, but,
That sucks. It's not even entertainment because who cares about watching people who can't dance attempt to dance? You know,
the only season I watched was when
if I wanted to do that, I would join a dancing club.
Yeah, the only season I watched was when my girlfriend wanted to watch it, and because it was right after the Winter Olympics. No, you don't understand it. Evan Lysacek,
and then you had her deported,
right? and then Evan Lysacek was on there, so she's like, "Oh, I love that guy. We're gonna have to watch it." And I was like, "We do," and she's like, "Yes," and I was like, "Oh, all right." And arguably, actually, that was the best season, which was like three seasons ago, I think. Three casts ago.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They all stink.
All right, well, I guess we can table Fringe for next week, so when Amy returns.
Oh, yeah, that way Amy will get a chance to talk.
Because I think she's interested. She definitely wants to watch the show, so... actually, she has been watching the show, so I'm sure she wants to talk about it.
It's good.
It's definitely good. It's definitely getting very bizarre, but in a good way, so... But we'll talk more about that next week. So for this week, you got anything else, John?
No, I'm good.
Okay. I just want to say that 2.5 Men is still not good, despite its ratings. I mean, its ratings actually have kind of dropped since the first episode, obviously. But,
of course. Oh, my God. 30 million people, 30 million people can't keep watching that show forever.
Really? I mean,
really?
Ashton Kutcher was just that good in penis jokes and fart jokes.
Monday Night Football is better. No matter who's playing.
Well, I guess you'll have to. A lot of people who are watching 2.5 Men will disagree, but. Okay, so until next week when we'll come back and we will have a lot of stuff to talk about, I'm sure. So for ScreenView Episode 3, this is Peter Van and John Denny saying goodbye for today.
You've been listening to Screen View. ScreenView is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.